Right. So, looks like
So,
you got the floor is yours.
yeah. Well, good. I get a little bit, well, not frustrated, but we had house guests all week. And the week before I was on the road, just difficult time to pursue those encounters. And so when I don't, it's like you're living in the old realm all the time. And it's frustrating.
Well, I think what we're aiming for is to be able to live in both realms at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jesus did. He was able to live in dual realms because his spirit was operating there, and that was fully connected and flowing. So his cognitive capacity to understand and operate out of the revelation of that realm was functioning because it was a unity of body, soul, and spirit together, but having different functions. And I think that's really part of Father, Son, and Spirit are completely one, and yet they do different things. So they have different functions within that oneness, and I think that's really where, our what we're looking to get to, where our spirit, soul, and body completely integrated, completely operating in one oneness, but actually having different functions, and being able to completely be integrated and flowing out of those functions. And I think that's ultimately where I think. Henry doesn't have any sound either. All right, so he's there, but he's not got any sound. So, okay, never mind. I would see that that's a process where, rather than the time that we have, it's more of who we are
Okay.
and growing in the revelation of who we are. So we are always that, regardless. And I'm not saying quality time is not important. It is to be able to engage, but we're obviously learning that our spirit can be flowing there, and we operate out of heaven as a gateway of heaven here.
Well, I know that
Yeah.
I think totally different than I did before we started these.
Yeah.
You know, my understanding of who I am and what I have access to, how deeply loved I am by the Lord, that's all different. A whole different understanding of that. And so I live in a different place than I did before.
Absolutely, and I think as you then take that on, it becomes then your lifestyle.
Yeah.
So you're just, that's who you are. So you carry government, you carry who you are in terms of the revelation of sonship in every situation, and you're ruling in heaven as you're here on the earth. Now, obviously, it takes some practice to be able to be conscious of that and to be aware of it, so that it is just how you live rather than, well, I'm going to have some encounters. It's like you live out of the testimony of the encounters that you've already had, and then you have a lifestyle of ongoingly drawing from that. Now, I mean, I still prioritize my time as much as I possibly can to give myself quality time with God. And that for me means I get up early. I get up earlier than I would have done before. I know people often say, well, it's okay for you. You do this all the time. You got plenty of time to do it. Actually, that wouldn't be fair. If I said, okay, well, I'm doing this in a way that other people can't do, then how could I model something or teach people or disciple people into something that I'm not living in the same way? So we all got the same number of hours in the day,
Oh.
It's just choosing what we do with them. Now, we may have constraints on how we can do that because of work and other things, but we all sleep and we all get up, and it's like whether we choose to spend the time that way, you know. I mean, I get up earlier than anyone else in our house because that means I've got the time completely free without any interruptions. And I chose to do that immediately, having had these sort of encounters. I chose to do that because I know that anybody can do that if they make that choice. Now, the time it takes me to do that is much less. So where I was practicing, learning, you know, getting a flow from the inside out, that would take me, you know, an hour a day, and then I would engage as a living sacrifice, and that would take me an hour a day. So 2 hours of my day was learning just to get to the place I needed to get to, whereas now I can get to that place in 10 minutes or whatever, or, you know, depending on what happens on my journey, because sometimes I'll get led to be stay here for longer, sometimes I'll get led to do this, God will show me something, and so it's not a set pattern, but a relationship in which I'm being led. But within that relationship, I want to get to the point where I'm able to engage with God in his presence around the ark, and so that from the ark, I can then outwork that and flow from that place. So now, if I'm driving along the road, I can be engaged in heaven. I'm not going to be engaged in heaven in my spirit and soul being there, because my soul needs to be here, because it needs to direct me to drive, you know, in that sense. You know, so, but I can be conscious that I'm aware of what I'm doing in that realm whilst actually still focusing on the road, because I've practiced my spirit being there, so that I can then communicate with myself effectively, cognitively, from that spiritual dimension. But in practice, you know, it takes time to practice that. And depending on what we're mandated to do is will give us some direction of how long or what I need to do in that. You know, because if it's like, you know, it's my day off and God wants me to rest, then my mandate's to rest. Well, I can just be in that place of rest in whatever I'm doing. Now, it's, you know, it's very rare that I'll take a day where I'm not doing anything for, you know, because actually, you know, I even talk with people and engage with people, you know, generally anyway. So, but, you know, I have the opportunity of only doing what I see the Father doing. And sometimes that frees me to do different things, you know. So if, you know, if we have all the family home, you know, I can spend time with the family, but I always prioritize my time with God first, because that will help my time with the family be better. You know, so even then, you know, I mean, I've learned to when I wake up, I don't need even to get up all the time. You know, I can in bed, I can just go into the realm of heaven and I can engage and I can do those things. You know, because I've practiced, so I can choose to do it in that environment. Usually when I get a revelatory place, I want to be able to write it down. So I sort of, that's when I choose to get up. It's like, I'm a place of revelation. I need to record this revelation. So it's easier to do that in my lounge or whatever, where I am, and be able to do that. But
what am I
have found that in giving that time to God and developing the relationship, I can do more in the time that I've got available. Because I mean, I'm working, you know, with 3 or 4 hangouts a day, whereas I used to do none. So what I was doing in the time where I'm now meeting people and helping people and engaging, I'm having to do in a much less time scale. So, but I found that the capacity to do things has increased. So things happen, whether that's an expansion of time in a sense that it seems that I can do more in the time that I've got than I used to be able to, or, you know, or a greater ability to do things within that time, I'm not sure, but I can. You know, I'm still producing a lot of material and doing things, and but I'm doing it quicker, if you like, or more effectively or efficiently, because I'm more tuned into it. And I've learned to take small chunks of time and use them effectively. Where I might have 20 minutes, I can get a lot done in 20 minutes, whereas I could waste 20 minutes before quite easily without doing an awful lot by getting distracted. You know, so I allow my spirit to really start to really govern what I do with my time. And then I know that I'm coming from that place of authority within my time that's going to make the best use of it. But we have to sort of, there's a degree of discipline that needs to take place, you know, in which we the soul surrenders to the spirit, and then the body surrenders to the soul that surrendered to the spirit. So everything flows from the inside rather than coming from the outside, and that means that I determine how I use my time rather than how the circumstances of my life determine it. And that's a big thing, because sometimes we can be under our circumstances rather than ruling our circumstances. And, you know, and I don't allow other people to determine how my time is used. I allow God to determine it. So just because there's a problem, it doesn't mean I have to sort it out.
Right.
And just because there's a need doesn't mean that I have to meet that need.
Yeah.
I need my spirit to direct me, to tell me, do I need to respond in this situation? Do I need to deal with this situation? Actually, if I seek first the kingdom of God, he promises to deal with a lot of situations that I used to spend quite a lot of time with. So I really seek his dealing with a lot of things that used to take up my time, and now I'm expecting and being in, I'm in faith for that to be outworked in my relationship with him. So it's definitely changed my whole perspective on time and also it's like, you know, I don't have any time. It all belongs to him. You know, I've surrendered my whole life to him. It all belongs to him, not mine. You know, and I know and I used to say, oh, well, I'm really busy. No, I'm not really busy. I'm just doing the things he's called me to do.
Uh-huh.
So I can see it as a negative thing. Oh, no, I've got all this stuff and I'm really busy, as if that's impinging on my time, when reality, it all belongs to him. So, you know, what I would like to do, you know, what I used to do in the time that I had at home and doing things, I choose to do different things in that time. I'm not in any way resentful of the fact that I connect up with people in different times around the world, and that means I use some of the evenings that I would be doing other things to hook up with people. That's the best time to communicate and email and check up on things. I just do that. I don't think about it anymore, so I don't resent my life being lived this way, because it all belongs to God anyway.
Yeah.
You know, everything belongs to God. It's all his, and he has the right to direct that, and therefore when I receive a mandate from him, then I'm looking to be obedient. I worship him by surrendering to that, you know, and within that he is going to give me the time I need to rest. If I abuse that, and if I stay up to all hours and I get up really early, then I'm probably going to, you know, affect my effectiveness if I become physically tired because I'm not getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
You know, but I know I can cope on 5 to 6 hours of sleep, and that's fine. If I let it go any further than that, then I could get physically tired, and that could affect me. Because I need to be in a place of rest, both physical and spiritual, which then enables me to be more tuned in and sensitive and flowing out of that from God. You know, and I know when I'm not. You know, I've learned to read the signs, you know, but I'm not feeling overstretched, even though if most people looked at my diary, they would think I was pretty stretched. I don't feel it, because I'm doing what God's called me to do. You know, and, you know, I've got a holiday booked up in June, and I'll have 2 weeks where we go away together and we just get away completely and have totally relaxed time and have some fun doing completely other things. And I'll feel totally comfortable about that. But I, you know, by this time of the year, I'd be like, oh, I need a week off, you know, because I've been busy for 3 months. I need some time off. I just don't feel like that. You know, I used to feel differently about my time and its use than I do now, because I think my mind sees things differently, and therefore I have a different mindset towards who's in charge of my life, and being surrendered and submitted to that, and being in that relationship of peace. You know, I need to do everything from rest. If I'm not at a point of rest, then I'm going to be doing things in my own strength.
Yeah.
If I'm yoked to Jesus, I only have to walk the path that he set for me today.
Well, I can see that part of what I need to do in my thought process is understand that the time is all his.
Yeah.
And that I'm completely surrendered. I mean, I've done the process or the ceremony of surrendering. Now I need to live it out more in terms of being more submissive instead of a lot of my own time. Now, one of the difficulties that I have, I do get up early in the morning and give myself time. Many times when I do that, I'll spend an hour and a half. I start to maybe take communion with the Lord in the Spirit, or just enter into the garden.
Hmm.
And then thoughts, especially about business, just drag me away. And 10 minutes later, I'll realize I've just been thinking about the business stuff for the last 10 minutes.
Hmm.
And so, you know, maybe after an hour and a half, I just, well, I got to get the game on here, and I just go.
Yeah, sure. Now, I see what you're saying. Now, that may not necessarily be a bad thing, because it may need to bring, it may be God inspiring you to bring creativity and government into your business situation.
I think I'm starting to come to the conclusion that that's part of what's going on, because I'll, in a place of pursuing him, and I do get new ideas for business, and I for whatever reason, I'm really wired for buying and selling stuff, and I get passionate about it.
Mm.
So,
I mean, yeah, definitely, but it does. It, I think, it's just being in tune, and for me, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in my time with God. You know, I know I open my first love gate. I know I embrace him. It's like, you know, I drink living water. I yoke myself to Jesus. You know, I invite the Father to be on the throne of government and the seat of rest in my own spirit. After that, it's like where we go, what we do is really down to him. And sometimes he just starts pouring in thoughts into my mind about what I should be speaking about next week or next month, or a particular topic or revelation of something. Now, I used to try and tune those things out, because it was like, well, no, I just want to spend, and it was like, well, hey, duh, I'm speaking to you. Listen.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's like I don't tune those things out. I go with them. So I write it all down. Uh-huh. So I journal everything. And I would encourage you to journal even the things, the thoughts you have with your business and everything else. Use them as a journal. And actually then take it to the fact, okay, now I'm going to bring the government of God into this situation. I'm going to release the favor of God. I'm going to be on my mountain ruling in this sphere, calling things that be not as if they were. Actually, I set the agenda for what this is, because this is my sphere of government. You know, work is a sphere of government. If that's one of your spheres, then you administer it, you know, and that means the creativity. That means to rule, that means to move mountains and obstacles, and to create a path which is the one that God wants you to follow on it. All that stuff You know, and that might be what God wants you to do.
Okay.
And so, you know, I had to deal with this myself, because it was like I suddenly found that God was just giving me stuff, and I felt guilty that I wasn't sort of having intimacy with him. And he was like, well, what makes you feel really intimate? Hey, when you talk to me about stuff and we share revelation and truth. I said, well, that's what I'm doing. Because I used to think intimacy was feelings. And it is for some people. Some people feel, oh, wow, isn't it lovely? I feel warm and, oh, I feel so secure and I feel wonderful. And that is for some people. And I was thinking, I used to think, oh, well, I haven't really had a really good time of intimacy because I didn't feel those things until God really sort of like, come on, wake up. You know, what actually is your language of love? You know, what does it make you feel loved? And it's like, actually, quality time of actually talking and sharing. And so when I'm giving you the revelation and I'm talking, what am I doing? And it's like, oh, wow, yeah, you're demonstrating how much you love me.
Wow.
So that freed me, you see, a lot. You know, it freed me up.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of flashing back to my very first adventure in the faith. And the thing I looked forward to the most was just having time with him. He ran a business too. We'd meet in the morning and have coffee. We could talk about anything. We'd go fishing together, hunting together. Hmm? And there were times when we'd just be driving back from a fishing trip. We're both sitting in the car. We're not saying a word, but I'm enjoying his presence in a just an amazing way. And as you're talking about this, I'm realizing that God's shown me this before, but I didn't keep track of it, that that's really the relationship with him.
Yeah.
I heard T.D. Jakes once said, when you first begin to hear God's voice, it's usually sounds like the voice of the mentor, your mentor in the faith, whoever raised you up, you know, and began to encourage you walk with the Lord, and that was the case initially. Now I don't hear his voice necessarily when God speaks to me. It's almost like you don't hear any voice, you just have a revelation, you know.
Yeah.
So you're really freeing me up this morning, Michael.
You're welcome. No, but I think, see, the enemy always wants to constrain us, and sort of religious mindsets will always want to limit and keep us tied down to a religious system that brings fear and brings bondage, and actually any of that sort of, so thinking that God wouldn't just want to hang out, or, well, God might want to talk to me, and actually just it's just a relationship, which is like any other relationship. There are different things you do in that relationship, and you can enjoy all of them. As you say, sometimes be still and know that I'm God. Just rest, and actually I don't want you doing anything or thinking about it.
Yeah.
When I've been at some really intimate times in the garden of God, in the Father's garden, it's been like just he's disassembled me, like all my atoms were disassembled and just became part of him, you know, because, you know, he's in and through all things. So it's like I felt one with the whole of creation, but it was almost like I had to almost disconnect from everything that I'd known, because it was all about what I could do, what I could think about, you know, activity, you know, even like, you know, first time I went in there, I'm sort of like trying to think about what I should be asking him. And he's just like, you don't need to think, you just be, just be. And that's what he kept saying to me, just be. I didn't know how to be, because being for me was doing.
Well, yeah.
I couldn't separate way out of his, doing.
You can think your way right out of his presence.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it was just like, no, just be.
And
that was a real difficult thing. Be still. I mean, I thought that would be really easy. Hey, just be still. My soul really kicked off about being still. You know, it just you know, reacted to it and wanted to know, well, why am I being still? No, that's not the point. It's just like, be still and know. So it's like, oh, well, what should I know? No. Stop thinking about what you should know, how to be still. Just be still. Just be. And eventually I got it. You know, having him say, right, okay, this is what it is to just be, and it's just like, whew, I'm just all completely almost like scattered over the whole universe, effectively, but feeling completely one with it, just like, well, I'm just being. How can I do everything? Every molecule is completely separate. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And it was just like complete rest. And then, wow. Then I was like, okay, now I can appreciate what you're saying. When I'm in this, I don't have to think. I don't have to try and do. I can just completely rest and just be. But those places have been places where then God has connected me to something that I wasn't thinking about and unveiled something that I would have never been able to engage with if I was thinking and trying. You know, so that sort of place of rest was been a real key, you know, and I've learned to take that in wherever I am, because rest is not inactivity. It's not doing nothing. It's actually doing everything from my relationship rather than for my relationship. You know, because if I do things for my relationship, then I'm immediately trying to do something to earn something, rather than I do things from my relationship, and then my relationship enables me to just be what I'm supposed to do. And it is very difficult, you know, initially, because people don't get it, because the whole religious systems is all about works. And if you're not doing anything, then you can't be any use.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I can appear to be doing absolutely nothing here from people's perspective, but I could be in heaven creating a galaxy. You know, I could be doing an amazing amount of things simply because of what people think at doing something is not what it appears. You know? Yeah. That's why, you know, I when I first started getting into this, I started daydreaming. It was like, no, just relax and just let your mind go somewhere. And I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, it was just like, and it was very foreign to me, coming from a very scientific background. It was very foreign. But God broke the patterns that I was used to, because he would get me to do things which were not normal. And so then I would just, and as I was daydreaming, I would get lots of creative thoughts. Because I just gave myself the space to do nothing, but with the intention of being open, you know. And I would not like empty my mind or do any negative things like that. I would just begin to fix my eyes on Jesus, and that would be it. And then I would drift into some thought, and it would be like, wow, you know. And then I would start to see some things, you know. I had some visions and things in that sort of state. But it was all preparatory, really, to now just living this way and not being constrained by rules and regulations and what I should do or what I shouldn't do or what I ought to do or what I ought not to do. I just need to relate and worship the Lord by just coming into unison, unity with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Well, that's the state we're looking at. Just to be one spirit with him. So I don't know whether it's my spirit leading me or his spirit, because they're one. And they should be one, and I should be just so like him that I do the things that please him, that I'm just being like him in the way I respond or react to situations. I will respond out of love because he's love. You know, yeah. I've still got a long way to go, but I'm working on it in a way of relaxing and not having to try. You know, I'm just much more relaxed about things. Therefore,
you're
I don't get
it. You're blowing me away, Michael. This is really good. One of the things I realized as you talk is, you know, I've been kind of trying to do this thing where I visualize the door and the opening the door. And in reality, as you're talking, I open the door the minute I put my mind on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I open the door.
Yeah.
And I keep looking for some sort of a grand experience opening this door, and in reality, it's simply putting my mind on him. It's like sitting down with him for coffee.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so much simpler than it gets made.
Is. Yeah. I mean, because literally all I'm doing is, he is saying, hey, let's hang out. And I'm saying, hey, yeah, let's hang out. And as soon as I begin to think about him, I'm thinking about, actually, we're in relationship. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yes, behold, I stand at the door and the knock. Well, what door? Well, the door to my consciousness, effectively. The door to who I am. The door to relationship, fellowship, intimacy, just comes at, I am just going to begin to access that which is already there. And it's my choice. He won't force me to, but if I choose to fix my eyes or turn my attention to him, then immediately we're in relationship because I've opened that door to connect. Now, sometimes it helps people to think about it as a door because it's like, okay, I need to choose, but it's literally the choice.
Yeah.
I choose him. Wow. So my choice is to choose him.
Well, one of the things I'm realizing as you talk is that when I get up in the morning and I have that quiet time with him, when I think about him, then we're in communication. So then when thoughts about business or whatever pop in, I need to start talking to him about these ideas instead of trying to shove them out of my mind and keep going into the garden or whatever. Wow.
Yeah. Because that's where the creativity and the revelation and then the government comes from. Because you have his thoughts and your thoughts and the creative process that just frees you to see that you're all one. You're not separated. It's not a separate, well, this is my job, this is it. No, this is who I am, and I have government in this area, this area, and this area, but it's all who I am.
Yeah.
I don't have to think about separating them. It can just be relational, and is those thoughts come? No, I'm going to allow, yes, let's talk about these things. Let's hang out around this, you know, and it may be different in different situations, and different thoughts will come. It could be, hey, okay, thoughts come about my family. Okay, well, am I just going to dismiss those thoughts? Oh, well, I'll think about that later because I need to. No, actually, I'll begin to, okay, God, is there anything you want to show me in that now? You know, what is it? Is there a situation I need to know about? Is there anything that I need to be doing to protect or to release or to do whatever? I just embrace the fact that he's inspiring certain things that then enable me to share them with him. So that we're sharing our life. He's sharing his life with me. I'm sharing my life with him. And we're actually in this flow of relationship.
Oh.
That's really what it really is. It's the intimacy, fellowship, call it lots of things, but really it's just me and him being one, coming together with one heart, one mind, one purpose.
Yeah.
And that actually is when I yoke myself to him as a disciple, he gets to set that agenda, not me. I don't need to decide what field I'm going in today or what direction I'm going to plow. I just need to walk alongside him, and he will direct it. I just follow. I'm walking with him. I'm in fellowship, in relationship with him. I don't need to know to make those choices. I can just flow. And so, yeah, when it comes to that, we're building a relationship in which it opens up our mind to the expansion of his thoughts, because it says we have the mind of Christ. So the limits of my knowledge, if I'm just thinking about what I know, I'm limited to what I already know.
Yeah.
If I begin to engage in relationship, let's say my imagination can take me anywhere because his thoughts can take me into something I don't know and reveal so much more than what I could come up with by trying to think. You know, hence we have prayer lists and oh, yeah, I mean, I used to do it all. You know, I had a prayer list. I used to pray for this on Monday, this on Tuesday, this on Wednesday, Thursday, you know, because it would help. And my relationship was, I'm coming with this. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And there was none of it about, well, actually, him saying to me, well, why don't you decide what you want to take place there? Why don't you decide how that blessing situation is going to be at work? Why don't you decide? Because actually, you're my son, and I trust you to decide.
Yeah.
And then to get to then outwork those decisions. Because now you have the authority to call that into being, to shift that mountain, to release this, to send these angels ahead of you. So in your business things, okay, how do we get this? How does this happen? Okay, well, what about sending an angel to prepare the way, to make the right connection, the right contacts, for this to open up? That all becomes then something which is possible.
Yeah.
Because you're not in it in a just a natural cognitive sense. You have the whole spiritual supernatural realm at your disposal.
Yeah, instead of just trying to feel like I have to do it all myself, I have a partner, and I need to communicate with my partner, and he's got strengths that I don't have that I need to take advantage of.
Absolutely, yep.
Wow. This is a great morning.
Yeah, because then we have all those resources that we weren't aware of in the supernatural realm, and we can then clear things to make a way for things. You know, we can create things that don't yet exist, and they might be relationships. They might be, actually, it might even be, you're talking about buying and selling things. There may be things that God wants you to be able to buy that doesn't yet exist. So you can actually call it into existence, because it's going to make you a whole load of money that then he can have use of in his kingdom, because, there are testimonies of where someone's woken up in a dream because they weren't able to, didn't have the relationship where God was able to talk to them. He had to get through into a dream, and he gave them a design, of some. I remember one was a worship leader who he gave a design for a one-piece bow, like a bow and arrow bow.
Because
it basically used to have to have two pieces and whatever, and he had came up with a design for a one-piece bow. And it was like he came up with it, had the design in his, and as a dream, woke up with it, wrote it down, and eventually, what do I do with this? He sold the design, and it gave him enough rights to go and pursue his worship and what he was doing without needing any other money.
Wow.
Just out of a dream.
Yeah.
You know, of revelation. And now we can proactively seek him for those things. We can actually get revelation, insight, creativity, that we would then say, actually, I am going to call that into being. And actually, you may be responsible for someone else getting a dream, which will be a product of something that you may be involved with and administrating.
Wow.
Because it doesn't necessarily always have to be us.
Yeah.
We can actually release things so that other people can be blessed and benefit, which we then can participate in.
Well, I sell sunglasses at like hunting and fishing shows and stuff like that. And a few years ago, I had it was like a vision in my morning worship time of a lens that was dark brown on top, faded to yellow on the bottom. And about a year later, this, I don't know if you get the advertisements over there, but HD Vision.
Yeah.
Sunglasses seen on TV, well, those came out. And I've sold plenty of them since then. You know, myself, I didn't import them. I didn't manufacture them. I saw it, and I was excited about it when I saw it.
Yeah.
They've sold billions all over the world, I'm sure. So, I need to realize how much a part of these things I am.
Yeah.
And just in being conscious of it, then I can function in it more more efficiently instead of just hit and miss and bouncing around.
But that comes really out of the relationship. Everything flows out of relationship, and then we can get authorized to do certain things. So we receive a mandate for this or that or the other, and then we can, that mandate comes with resources attached. They may be angelic resources, they may be earthy resources, but they come attached to the mandate. We just have to release that from the realm of heaven. So that's where our mountain comes in, our position of government. Therefore, we can begin to do things from that place that will bring that mandate. And it may be, actually, we need this mandate. Now, how do we do this? Well, we go to the strategy court or the court of war, and we actually get a specific strategy. And that strategy may be, you need to do this, 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 and this. So you need to send these three angels out to these nations to do this, or whatever it might be. It could be any strategy that God says, this is, you know, this is what you've been given to do, but you need this to be able to do it, and this is how you do that. But we have to go and ask.
Yeah.
You know, we are in relationship, and the asking can be just like you're saying. Some thoughts start coming into your mind. Rather than rejecting those thoughts because you think they're interfering with your time with God, actually see them as something that God is actually inspiring you to think about, and then you begin to then to commune around those thoughts, to meditate on those things, and then follow the process through. Okay, God, is there anything you want me to do with this? Yeah, I want you to do this. Okay, well, how do I do that? Well, go on here, and you can find out how you do it. Then I've released this legion of angels, and they can do this for you. Eventually, you won't need to ask. You'll know. Oh. Because what comes with the mandate is the revelation that our spirit is in tune with that can be released. And then you just do it. You just instinctively operate in that way. You don't cognitively do things. You just know, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. So, again, I'm going to think about the court of strategy. That's going to open the door for me to engage in the court of strategy, and then strategic thoughts are going to be released into my mind through my spirit that will enable me to outwork that strategy. And that's essentially what we're doing. Well, I'm going to that court. Now, I can close my eyes and try and imagine that court, and I can try and picture going there, and I can, and that, some people, that's very helpful. For me, it's like I just set my thoughts on it, and I'm there. My spirit's there engaging. Mm-hmm. The door's open. And then I receive sometimes thoughts. Sometimes my spirit receives things that my mind's not yet caught up with. And I find that that then directs me and leads me, and I begin to outwork it by choosing to just engage. You know, and there's so much more, I think, in learning how to do these things that will become more familiar with it.
But that going to the court of strategy, could it be rather than a conscious thought of going there? To me, it's like I don't think in terms of being in a court of strategy. I think in terms of being in a realm with the Lord, where those things are coming to me.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's reality. I mean,
but if I try to go into it,
it works. It's like, it's unique for you. So you find the language, and you find the relationship and the pathways which actually are meaningful to you. And for some people, seeing it as a court in which there is judicial protocol and there's judicial decisions made is helpful. Yeah. But in reality, you're just engaging your mind in a place which is a spiritual place. Your spirit can engage there in relationship with God, and the revelation that you need will flow out of that place. Whether it comes as a picture, or it comes as a thought, or an impression, it will flow out of the relationship that you're in with God in that place. And so, yeah, I mean, that's how it comes. You know, he knows everything, but he wants to reveal those things to us when we're dependent on him in the relationship, and those things will be unveiled. Okay. And then we can take those things and we can begin to explore them further, you know, and meditate around them and give him a greater opportunity of unveiling what you need to do, when you need to do it, how you need to do it, because you've spent the time and allowed his thoughts to become your thoughts.
Oh.
Which is really what happens in a lot of these things.
Yeah. Well, as I've heard about the courtrooms and stuff, I've always wanted to be in one and see one, and I never have. And so it's like I'm thinking I'm getting shortchanged somehow, but in reality, as you talk about this process, I'm not shortchanged. I'm just missing it because I'm looking for something that I don't really need to see to have the experience.
Absolutely. And now my spirit is engaging in these things. My soul does not need to know. So I have to see it all to believe it. Because in reality, I don't need to see it to believe it. I need to engage it to believe it. So I experience it, because actually true knowledge only comes through experience. And I'm experiencing it as my relationship with God unveils that revelation. And, there are different courts and they do different things. But if you're getting a mandate to do something, or you want authorization, or you want that agreed, or you want that sealed in some way, then that will come as it's sealed in your heart. And sometimes there can be angelic involvement in that. There are different things. And we can grow in it, and we can get a deeper understanding of how those things work. But I no longer need I am there in a trance and completely suspended from this realm to be able to engage in that realm, because I need to be able to do it while I'm here. So I need it to flow out of my spiritual intimacy with God and flow from that.
Well, I've seen angels plenty of times, so I have no problem engaging with that concept or that experience.
It's just assigning them to those other things of your life rather than thinking, well, those are separate, so you assign them to that. You know, they can be involved in that.
I like the word assigned.
Yeah.
I always think of commanding them to do things, and it doesn't feel right to me to command an angel.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I understand that. And in a sense, it's like they will recognize the authority that you have within a mandate. Okay. So when you're authorized to do something, they recognize that. And when you speak words, which are the words of God that he would speak, then they recognize that. And they sometimes respond just from the words, because they know, hey, that's the word of God. That's the purpose and will of God. I can respond to that without actually even engaging them. But in reality, God wants us to be able to understand how the realms of heaven work and how the angelic realm works. So he's given us insight into it so that, like, you know, God was there in the assembly in the court, and it was like, okay, his plan is we're going to deal with this guy Ahab. And it was like, well, who's willing to go? And someone volunteered.
Yeah.
So the assignment was there, and someone basically said, yeah, I'm up for that assignment. I volunteer. Yeah. So when we're assigning angels, it's like, there are those that are associated with that particular thing. And so they're geared up for it. They want to be involved in it. You know, and you don't assign the seraphim to do what you need to assign the Kashmilim to do. You know, because they love worship and stuff, and seraphim love fire and transformation and change. And so they do different functions. You know, there are warfare angels, there are messenger angels. There are different angels who have different functions, and as we get familiar with that, then we engage with that and release those that have got the right function.
Wow.
And all that grows out of just growing into the relationship where we chill out and hang out with God. So it's God, well, show me this angelic canopy. What am I supposed to do? And he'll show us. You know, sometimes because it will be, actually, you need to assign this angel here to do this. Okay, so who are they? What do they do? Just keep talking. You know, that's the whole thing of discipleship, relationship is about questions and answers. Yeah. It's not just having information, it's knowing how and knowing why and having the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel that all come as part of us being in our position of government, because they're assigned to tutor and train us in government. That's their whole purpose.
Yeah.
You know, is to actually bring that government and help us to know who we are. And so there is counsel, there is wisdom, there's knowledge and understanding just by pursuing the relationship which releases it. You know, and in a sense, you know, we can see sometimes we're engaging with angels who are doing that on behalf of the Lord. So it's the angel of the Lord. Well, is it an angel or is it the Lord? Well, it's the angel of the Lord who just represents the Lord. So it's just like talking to the Lord when we talk to an angel, because he's assigned an angel. And sometimes it's like, well, who am I talking to here? You know, when I talk to wisdom, it's just like she is just so much like representing God that it's just like, wow, this is the wisdom of God that she imparts when I hang out with her. But I don't separate it from God. It's sort of like it's just who she is, and her role is to release that, which is the heart of God in that area. You know, and an angel who's assigned to a chancellor's role will carry the government of God in that area. And so when you engage them, you're just engaging with the heart of God in reality. But there are obviously angelic orders that are all there representing God. You know, it's like Moses and the burning bush. The angel turned up. And then all of a sudden he's talking to the Lord. Well, was he talking to the angel of the Lord? Was he talking to the Lord? Did the angel just get Moses' attention? It all just is relationship.
Yeah.
That's the key.
The disciples, their relationship with Jesus when he was here was one of learning from him and asking questions. You know, they asked him a lot of questions.
They did.
And, this is great.
Yeah.
I have a lot to just enjoy. Wow.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Michael.
You're welcome. It's always good. And, you know, it's great. You know, sometimes these sessions, you know, if three or four people were in this session, actually, we wouldn't have probably got onto this subject in the same way.
No, I don't think so.
So sometimes that's just God's purpose and plan, and you know, it outworks that way. And then you know, other people will listen to this, and hopefully they'll be blessed by our conversation that will help others.
Yeah. You know,
God then will release that out, and it can be used in many different ways. So yeah, it's been excellent. So.
Yeah, well, a lot of times when there's three or four people, they're talking about all these phenomenal visions and encounters and stuff, and I'm just kind of sitting there feeling like, I hope I get to that someday, you know. In reality, I'm kind of there. It's just different for me.
Absolutely, yeah. That is the key. It's finding, for all this, it's finding the what in your relationship God engages you with, because it's you're unique, you've been made the way you are, he's wired up you that way. Okay, there are some things about all of us that he's in process of helping us be free from, but actually he has made us the way we are so that he can engage with us, and he talks to us differently, and he shows us things differently, and he reveals things differently, just like we do with our children. I mean, I've got four children, they're all different, you engage them differently.
Yeah.
Because they react differently, they respond differently, they're different people, and therefore God will respond to us because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, it says in Psalm 139. You know, he knitted us together in our mother's womb. So, you know, and he saw everything even before the foundation of the world. So he's invested a lot in us. And he longs for the relationship that will release who we are in his image, you know, as sons of God. You know, when Jesus went way out there and he basically said, quoting, I think it was Psalm 86, quoting that he says that you are gods,
yeah,
sons of the Most High. And it's like God with a little g, but actually sons of God, made in that image to be operating in that way. Now, yeah, I know that offends certain people and the whole religious stuff doesn't like that, but the reality is Jesus quoted that and he said, and the word of God can't be broken. So
yeah,
reaffirming that, because he was saying, actually, I'm the Son of God. Yeah. I was basically saying, and God calls all of you to be this way, but you've rejected it effectively.
Yeah,
but that's who you really are supposed to be.
Well, that's a scripture, that one. Doesn't the scripture say that ye are gods?
Yeah.
That's one that stood out to me way back 40 years ago when I first got saved.
Yeah.
And it sounded like, well, what does he mean there? You know. But then you kind of get, they put their attention on a lot of scriptures that aren't that one.
Yeah.
You absolutely where you need to go.
Yeah. Definitely so.
Yeah.
And of course, it takes us away from he has created us to be like him. We're predestined to be conformed to his image.
Yeah.
Well, that's not to look like him physically, but it's to carry all the attributes that he has in relationship with him so that we can actually be who he created us to be in that image. So he's created us to be like him uniquely. And no one else is created like us to be like him in that way, because we're all fearfully, wonderfully, uniquely made to be who he envisaged that we should be, his thoughts. And it says, it goes on to say about how vast the sum of his thoughts about us. You know, we weren't just an idle thought. He invested a whole load of himself in us.
Yeah.
And he wants to see that as we're just released into being that, you know, as sons of God, being able to bring his government to the created order that he created for us, you know. And we know we're joint heirs with Christ, it says so,
yep,
but we don't really sort of in general get the full meaning of what that really means.
Yeah, we don't live as if we are all the time.
But that's the reality. When we're starting to live this way, it opens up and unveils so much more in terms of the possibilities and the potential that there is for who we are. And we just have to have the limits of our consciousness removed so that we actually really do know who we really are and what our capabilities really are as his sons. You know, but it's all good. And
Well, you know, where I separate from the New Agers is they just want him to be energy, and I realize he's a person.
Absolutely.
He's a person, and I can't have an intimate relationship with energy, but I can with a person.
Yeah.
You know?
And that person actually is made up of energy, but it's personal. It's a person that you can actually experience, and that's the thing. You know, everything is energy in one sense, just vibrating frequencies, but the reality is there is personality, that he is a person, and that's how he has chosen to express himself so that we can engage with him, you know. And there's so much truth in so many things that has unfortunately been drawn wrong conclusions by people that have missed the point, but it's still true, you know. And unfortunately, those people have missed the point of that truth and therefore not engaged with the truth, who is Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. They've missed out on the fact that that truth is actually a person.
There's almost pride and rebellion in taking that it's just energy position.
Yeah.
It's refusing to acknowledge a person. you know.
So that's, you know, but that's the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil rather than the pathway of the tree of life. So that's the two choices that we've been given. Wow. And, you know, even good things are not, if they're not from the right path, you know, and therefore there's a lot of good things out there which aren't on the right path, which we need to avoid. But it doesn't mean that they're not, there isn't truth in a lot of things. And because all truth must be from God, because God is truth. Yep. You know, there can't be any truth that's come from anywhere apart from God. But how people take that truth and twist it, pervert it, or can draw wrong conclusions from it is the problem.
Yeah.
Because knowledge apart from God is the issue. Yeah. And Satan offered Adam and Eve knowledge apart from God. You can know. And the reality is there is no knowledge apart from God that will bring anything which is good, unfortunately.
Yeah. In a sense, he convinced them that they didn't need God.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, but everything flows out of our relationship with God, and that's really where God wants us to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, well, I'll leave.